is your girl Asada O, and welcome to the Easy Breezy Life, the official podcast of our global community, featuring women from over 50 countries who are just as fierce, focused, and fired up as you are. The purpose of this podcast is to help you become CEO of your life so that you can take the reins and create the abundance that God intended for you to have. As a disclaimer, everything we share on this platform is for education and entertainment purposes only. We believe that the Easy Breezy Life is a group project, and we want to encourage you to seek our professional advice and support in any way, shape, or form that you might need it. We're going to take a brief break and come back with this week's episode. Want to know how I save tons of money on a Caribbean vacation while earning cash back? It's easy. The answer is Rakuten. Sign up online today using the link in our episode notes so you can start saving and earning cash back on your favorite online stores. Good morning, beautiful people, and welcome to another episode of the Easy Breezy Life. Today, we are going to be having a conversation about loyalty, which is a virtue that holds great significance in our relationships, both with God and others. In this particular conversation, we're going to talk about concepts of loyalty as portrayed in the scripture. We'll talk about examples of loyalty, why it's important, and I'm also going to talk about self-respect, the power of boundaries with loyalty, and how we need to understand that loyalty is a two-way street, even in times of challenge, and then how we can start cultivating true loyalty with God and in our relationships. Let's begin with a definition. You all know that I love a good definition to anchor us together. To begin, let's define loyalty in the context of the Bible. Loyalty, according to the Bible, is a steadfast commitment, faithfulness, devotion to someone or something. It also involves standing by someone's side, even in challenging times, and remaining true to your commitment to them. God's loyalty to his people is evident throughout the Bible. Despite our shortcomings, our own unfaithfulness, God remains steadfast in his love and commitment to his people. Some examples of that are the book of Psalms, chapter 36, verse 5, where it says, "Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds." The book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 22 to 23, where it says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." And last but not least for today's example, the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 13, where it says, "If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." Some great examples of loyalty in the Bible are Ruth and Naomi, where it says, you know, "Your people shall be my people. I will not leave you." Despite all of the hardship that Naomi saw and was probably canceled by society and culture, Ruth stood by Naomi through very difficult circumstances. I imagine that through Naomi's grieving process, she probably was not the best of persons on every single day, but Ruth remained devoted and committed to Naomi, exemplifying loyalty in action and receiving a reward for it. We also have David and Jonathan. When we look at their friendship in 1 Samuel and their loyalty to one another, even in the face of adversity, even though Jonathan's father Saul was trying to kill David, and someone would think that Jonathan should first be loyal to his father, Jonathan actually demonstrated loyalty to principle and saying that, you know, David has done no wrong. I'm going to stick by this person. My father is wrong. Huge, huge example of loyalty. But also, from the outside looking in, could be an example of betrayal, right? So it's an interesting story to consider depending on what angle you're viewing it from. In the Bible, Jesus also teaches on loyalty. He emphasizes the importance of loyalty in our relationships. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 says that no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, and he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God in money. So this is so interesting because I feel like we have to pause here and talk about this scripture, because this scripture has been referred to in many life situations that I think is misappropriately applied. A lot of times people will call a master like another human being. I want to be clear that you should be serving God. Right? You serve humanity for God, through God, in honor of God, but your service should be through God in loving and service to humanity. And maybe this is me being a little stubborn, struggle with allowing another human being to be my master. Is it just me? Because you could be hot today, cold tomorrow. But God is the same every day. And so I always tell people, like, if you want to check me or you want to have a conversation with me about something, the best thing to do is to go to my master, Jesus, first and talk to him about it. Talk to God about it on the best way to address it. Because if the Lord speaks to me about it, for me, I'm more likely to change than if a human being talks to me about it. You may not be that way. I'm just saying that for me, when it says two masters, it's God or somebody else, or God or someone else. It's not like one person or someone else. And you might define it differently. Luke chapter 16, verse 10 says, "One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much." Interesting conversation and perspective here, because God is always looking at what we do with the small things. And I am personally working on cultivating a spirit of excellence in the small things, clarifying that excellent and excellent spirit is not perfectionism. Oftentimes perfectionism, which I have been guilty of in the past, can feel like a yoke, right? A burden on other people, a burden on yourself to perform just right. But when I look at excellence, I think about this Bible study that I did for my kids in Sunday school, where the song is saying that God doesn't want perfection. He just wants our best. In the Bible over and over again, we see examples of God breathing on people's efforts, Jesus blessing people who society considered less than, society considered unworthy, right? Just look at Rahab and the wall, the city of Jerusalem, and her being spared, right? And her being part of the lineage of Jesus. If a spirit of excellence was about perfectionism, Rahab would have never qualified, right? However, I believe excellence is talking about the spirit in which we do things, the way we are beholding others. Are we seeing and viewing people through the eyes and love of God? And are we doing what we're doing wholeheartedly? And so I have gotten into the practice of, if I cannot do something with my whole heart and do it cheerfully, then I'm not serving God or humanity the way that I should. Right? And I feel the need to correct myself. So this is why the Holy Spirit is so powerful. The idea of being loyal and serving two masters. God always wants us to be submitted under authority, not because authority is 100% correct, but because it shows our honor. And the Bible also teaches that if you cannot love your brother or your sister who you can see, then you are definitely lying. You can't love God. So, as I say, the easy, breezy life is a journey. It's for me just as much as it is for you. And I thank God for the Holy Spirit, because somebody must have been praying for me and my definition of serving two masters. Here we go. And then we're also looking at John chapter 15 through 13, where it says, "Greater love has no one than this, than someone who has laid down his life for his friends." Guys, this one is hard for me, because this is the part where I like to tell people, try Jesus, don't try me, because the way that my childhood trauma is set up, I won't be laying down my life for anybody, really. Even my children who I love dearly, I have learned to have a boundary with. And this has been particularly hard difficult with Emmanuel because Emmanuel's had a very difficult entry and life journey, and there was a part of me that feels like Emmanuel should have no suffering or trial in life ever, period. And as such, I am willing to extend myself sometimes to lengths that of strength and energy that I don't even have, because I believe that Emmanuel deserves my very best. Even in that, God has been teaching me that for Emmanuel to get his very best, I have to surrender Manny. So actually me ending up ill, me becoming depressed, me gaining weight, me not taking care of myself because I'm taking care of Emmanuel is not the kind of lay down that God is looking for me when it comes to my son, right? What he's looking for is to pray and to commit him to Jesus and to follow the nudging of the Holy Spirit as it pertains to the care and the affairs of Emmanuel. And it has been very difficult for me to define laying down my life more in the sense of laying down my expectations of Emmanuel's life journey, my hopes for Emmanuel's life journey, and going to the Bible and saying, what is the Bible's definition of Emmanuel's life journey? And what should I be praying? And how should I be moving and acting and communicating that will align with God's will for him? And how should I get out of the way? So sometimes laying down a life for a friend, or in this instance for me, for my son, who I love so much, is laying down my way of doing things and my reasoning and taking up God's example. This being said, I just don't know that I could love people the way Jesus did on the cross. And this is why I be telling people, like, you know, you got to follow this Jesus. I tell people all the time, don't follow me, follow him. Because I like to be honest with God about when I'm struggling with something and when I'm doing something that I know is probably not Christ-like, but I haven't gotten the revelation to walk in that truth just yet. And one thing I can tell you that I've learned about God in my personal journey with him is that he is so patient and loving and kind. And this Easy Breezy life journey has really exposed me to the gentleness and the kindness of God and how merciful he is. And I think that there was a part in my Christian journey where I lost sight of that, where it became more about my works than it was about God's faithfulness. And that was just such a hard life. I don't want to go back there. I never want to be back there. And quite frankly, I don't want to hang out with nobody who lives there. Okay. The next thing that I want to talk about when it comes to loyalty and self-respect is really just understanding that so long as we are in this human flesh, all of us are going to fall short of Jesus's teaching on loyalty. We're going to struggle with serving two masters and having to constantly check ourselves. We're going to struggle with being faithful in the little when nobody is watching, especially when the folks around us start getting on our nerves, for those of us who are women in leadership. We're going to struggle with laying down what we think is best for somebody and just allowing the people around us to thrive in the way that God has called them to thrive, and maybe just praying for them as opposed to correcting or trying to forcefully redirect a relationship or people, right? There's so many different ways to look at this scripture. But I also believe that in our journey in life, it's important to cultivate a strong sense of self-respect, because I can only love my neighbor to the extent at which I love myself. And I think that self-respect falls in line with this love to others. Now, I want to be sure that I'm clear here. Self-respect is not an elevated or inflated view of one's self-importance, because I do believe many of us listening here are millennials, and the millennial generation and also a little bit of Gen Z, we really struggle with our sense of self-importance and this belief that if we don't do it, can't nobody do it better. And I'm here to tell you today, somebody gonna do it, and somebody is gonna do it better. And even if they don't do it the way that you did it, it's still gonna be all right. And I have learned that even in the journey of being loyal to others, to not replace the role of God, or to understand that I am not God in those people's lives, and having to constantly check myself, because believing that you can save and help everybody in and of itself underneath is driven by pride. So it's so important that we understand the significance of self-respect, establishing boundaries, and the role of loyalty in maintaining healthy relationships. So self-respect for me is the foundation upon which we build our self-esteem and overall well-being. It is the recognition and appreciation of our own worth, our own values, our own boundaries, knowing that we're unique, not like any other person, regardless if you were a single child or born in a family of eight like me. For me, I've always been conscious of the fact that I want and would like to keep and establish my personal boundaries. This may be because I was a middle child and you could kind of feel like you could get lost in the riffraff, though my mother would probably tell you that based on my personality, I was never going to be the middle child that got stuck in the riffraff. I've always had a mouth and a very stubborn will, which I'm yielding to God finally as I approach 40. And so it's so important that we have a healthy level of self-respect that is balanced so that we're better equipped to navigate life's challenges and make choices that align with our authentic selves. The next thing is understanding the power of boundaries. Boundaries are protective barriers, right? Broad is the path, but narrow is the way. Like people, there are going to be a whole bunch of things of good intentions and things that you could do that are good, but there's a straight and narrow path for your life that is leading to the easy breezy life that God has designed specifically for you, which may look different than mine. So it means that when we are building relationships, we need to be able to communicate our needs, our values, and our limitations to others, and we need to be able to choose who we allow in proximity to our life based on their response to our communicated needs, values, and limitations. When someone cannot honor your communicated boundaries, your communicated values, your communicated limitations, they are not someone who you can be in deep and close proximity with. You can be associates with them, you can be cordial with them, you can be surface level with them. They are not people that you should be pursuing deep relationship with, because it's only going to hurt you and eventually hurt them. So by setting clear boundaries, we create a safe space for others to thrive alongside us and in our life. And we have to be clear on what those are, which is unique and different to each and every one of us. Next is, how do we now set these personal boundaries? After you've taken the time to really identify your values and needs, it's important to reflect on what makes you feel comfortable and respected in various aspects of your life, because we are all coming from different families of origins, or what I like to say, the walks of life, and you're not going to change anyone's mind. By the time we hit 25 and 30, some parts of our personality, without the hand of God, without the move of God, are going to remain as they are. So people have to want to change. People have to be on a journey of self-discovery and self-improvement through Christ in order to really have a transformation. I say that because you can't set boundaries and expect people to change to who they are not. And so the boundaries are really more so that you create, let's say, a perimeter of what is allowable or not concerning access to you and different aspects of your life. But you have to keep in mind that you can kindly and assertively set boundaries, and people may still not understand and or respect them, and at which point you have to make a decision about how you are going to engage with them, if at all. Granted, it's a little bit more difficult when you are setting those boundaries with family members, because those are relationships we did not choose for ourselves, and they're likely to continue for the rest of our lives in some way, whether they are fragmented or not. Nonetheless, I have learned that it is still possible, to the best of our human ability, to establish boundaries with our loved ones. What becomes difficult is the willingness to maintain, and sometimes the effort that it takes to maintain that boundary, especially when the other party does not want to respect or value it. Another thing that I want to talk about today when we tie back to loyalty is understanding that loyalty should and is a two-way street. Loyalty is a vital aspect of any healthy relationships, be it with your friendships, your family members, or your romantic partners. It really means being committed, supportive, and trustworthy. However, loyalty really shouldn't come at the expense of your self-respect or your well-being. It is crucial to discern when loyalty becomes enabling or toxic, and how to set boundaries accordingly. True loyalty really should be reciprocal, and the other person, just as they want to be loved, honored, and respected, should be ensuring that they are working on giving you the same. It is something that is based on fostering growth and mutual respect. And that's so important to mention because I think we're living in a generation where people are claiming loyalty, loyalty, loyalty. And I see a lot of people out here claiming and asking for a loyalty that they do not give and are not worthy of because they have not sown or given enough to the relationships around them. So if you are out here making a loyalty battle cry, then you should also be putting equal amount of effort to show up as loyal. The next thing to remember is that even with all of this self-work and boundaries and all the things that we're doing, you're still going to encounter difficult situations. And it's so important to maintain our self-respect, boundaries, and what your personal standards are for loyalty in a healthy way, because I've also encountered toxic loyalty. But also to remember that you have to prioritize your well-being and happiness. When you're faced with a difficult decision and have to reflect on your values, it is a good idea to consult a few people that you trust and take time to reflect whether or not the relationships around you are mirroring the kind of loyalty that you're putting out or the kind of loyalty that you would like to see take place in your life. You gotta trust your instincts and truly have the courage to make difficult decisions sometimes that align with your self-respect. And one thing that I've learned and continue to learn is that sometimes if I don't cut off a difficult relationship, then I don't make room in my heart or room in my life to receive better ones. So sometimes we're holding on to relationships just because they've been in our life for a long time, when really what we need to be considering is whether or not the relationship has run its course, or whether that relationship needs to take a different shape or form so that I can make room for relationships that do measure up to the love and loyalty that I am trying to give others every day and I believe I'm worthy of. You set the standard. You are the CEO of your life. The next thing to remember is that first and foremost, that like our loyalty needs to be to God. If the relationship is requiring you to betray God or to violate what we call biblical principles for healthy and godly living, it's probably not it, right? Bad company corrupts good morals. And so even when you are dealing with friends who maybe have lifestyles or aspects of themselves that are not salient with who you are, you have to draw the line in that relationship as to whether or not you're going to get really close to that person. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 5 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your might," right? And we know that we serve a jealous God and we can have no other gods. Joshua chapter 24 verse 15 says, "And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river or the God of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Loyalty is not a reason for God to be moved out of the first place position in your life. Matthew chapter 22 verse 37 through 38 tells us, "And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment." So it is important that we examine our relationship with family and friends and say, one, are you loyal first to God, and are you being loyal to the people to whom you are expecting loyalty from? What does that loyalty look like? Loyalty is represented in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17, where it says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 says, "With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love." Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 through 24 says, "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive your inheritance and your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ." In all that we do, it is so important that, one, we are representing and giving the love that we want. Two, we are showing up in our relationships with all humility, with all gentleness, with all patience, bearing with one another in love. And that, three, we understand that our reward should always come from God. So you may be loyal to people who never reciprocate that loyalty. And what I've learned is that when I have to distance myself from the relationship and I know that I've given my personal best, I look to God and I trust in God to recompense me for the loyalty that I've shown, right? Because God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And while we don't do things for reward from God, it is okay to have a positive expectation from God when you know that you've done well, not in a sense of entitlement, right? But we are God's children. It is okay for you to ask. Last but certainly not least for today, understand that loyalty is a virtue that holds great importance in our lives and as followers of Christ. By studying examples of loyalty in the Bible and understanding God's unwavering loyalty to us, we can learn how to cultivate loyalty in our own lives. So I am encouraging you today to strive to be loyal to God, faithful in your relationships, committing to stand by others in both good and bad times. And my prayer is that our lives will begin to reflect the loyalty that God has shown us and that your relationships will be fruitful and loyal. I love you. God bless you. And I just want to say a word of prayer before we go. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you today for this conversation about the power of boundaries and loyalty. And we pray that you will begin to sow seeds of loyalty, not only in us towards you, but in us towards others. And as we begin to plant seeds of loyalty, that we will be honorable in our relationships and that you will begin to send relationships into our lives that will honor us and who you've called us to be. In Jesus' name we have prayed, amen. I love you, God bless you, and tune in next week for another episode of the Easy Breezy Life with Asada O.